Tape moving. Okay, this is an interview with Yolanda Ford in Durham, North Carolina. It is March 11, 2005, and we're at Riverside High School. The interviewer is Geraldine Patterson, and this is part of the Spencer Grants Project on School Desegregation in the South, and will be used as part of the Southern Oral History Program at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. The tape number is 31105YF. Okay, Ms. Ford, can you tell me when you attended Hillside High School?
Okay, I attended Hillside from 1961, apparently, to 1964. I graduated. So in other words, I did 10th grade,
okay.
10th, 11th, and 12th
okay.
at Hillside.
3 years there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Graduating in 64.
Okay. And tell me what you remember most about Hillside. What was it like to be a student there?
Okay. As far as a student there, I remember most probably my friends and how much I was really a social butterfly. I loved to socialize. But academically, on the serious side, I really did enjoy my teachers. I had a lot of good teachers.
Who was your favorite teacher?
Probably Miss Schooler.
Okay.
She was one of my favorites. Jenny Lucas was a favorite because I had Spanish with her. I had a lot of favorite, a lot of good teachers that I really did like. And I can't really think so much of any that I dislike. Mm-hmm. Right off, I can't.
Okay.
But to say favorites were Jenny Lucas, Mr. Fisher, Alfred okay. Fisher, okay. and Miss Schooler.
Okay. do you feel like the teachers had felt a special, did they send you special messages? Did they tell you certain things over and over again?
Okay, I guess thinking about growing up as a teenager then, back in the 60s and so forth, that just certain things were, you just knew. They didn't have to be said.
Like what?
You just knew that you had to behave, basically. I do have a couple of cases where I didn't behave because I just got wrapped up in some of my silly stuff.
Okay.
But they didn't have to just monitor all the time about discipline and
okay.
behavior.
Okay.
Now, and they didn't have to just drive you about your work, because I was in classes where a student, you know, I was on the college track or whatever, mm-hmm. and we just did our work as okay. far as I know. I mean, okay. I don't remember nobody having to tell, you know, like nowadays mm-hmm. give lectures about, you know, how important grades are and all that. We knew.
So and what I'm hearing is there unspoken, there was this expectation.
Oh, high expectation okay. that you just knew were there. I mean, I guess they were spoken, mm-hmm. but it had come from just your family, too, and the expectations were in your family. Mm-hmm. And the type of person, I knew that I was going to college mm-hmm. and just all of that. I always knew that.
Okay.
So I knew what I had to do.
Okay.
But teachers did drive you. They mostly really taught. Because
mm-hmm.
they didn't just have to motivate you. That's
okay.
another word.
Okay.
You just kind of were motivated. And
okay.
you just did your work. Now, looking back, I probably could have had maybe some more other, because I really could have done better myself,
mm-hmm.
now that I think about
mm-hmm.
some grades. I really should have been in the honor society,
mm-hmm.
but I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no big deal now that much, but looking back and being in education, I really realized that I should have been a little bit more serious.
Okay.
That school did come easy to me, but I didn't go the extra mile to do extra studying.
Okay. And so therefore,
I just kind of kept B, C averages
okay.
and stuff like
okay.
that. Mm-hmm.
So what did you do at Hillside? Were you in any clubs?
Okay. For the first couple of years, I just kind of did, and I wasn't involved like that.
Okay.
But my senior year and junior year, and that's where some stuff is in the yearbook,
okay.
I joined the Dramatics Club, I think
you
that's
did?
What it was called,
okay.
and the announcing, they used to have the announcing, people who did the announcements, and that was called an announcement club
okay.
or something like that. Let's see, it was another one that I was in, but I really was not that active active in terms of extracurricular activity. No sports, no cheerleading, none of that. Band, none of that.
Did you go to any of those?
But events? I went to everything. But yeah, I like I said, I was a social butterfly. Okay. I went to every basketball game, every football game, all the little dances. I went to all my proms. I got prom pictures here.
Oh, I went to see them. Okay.
I was just, I really have always really been active in participating, but not necessarily in clubs and stuff.
Okay. So what do you think makes Hillside so special?
Because it was such a community school. And see, actually, see, that was the only really quote-unquote black school for years and years and years. And so everybody from all over Durham went to school there. And we're not talking about out in the county because they had their own school. Mm-hmm. But
what was the school in the county?
American Moore, believe it or not. American Moore was a high school back then, and Little River. Little River was a high school, and American Moore, and we played them in sports.
Little River was black?
Mm-hmm. It may have been. Yeah, it had to be. Yeah.
Okay.
It was. It was because it weren't. The integration wasn't really out there then.
Okay.
But
wait.
Yeah.
No. Yes, integration was.
Well, not really.
Because this is 1961 and 1964.
Okay. It may have been. It may have been.
Okay.
Too,
so you say it was in theory.
It was predominantly black school. Just like Hillside was. It wasn't the white children at my school. Not at Hillside when I went.
When you went to high school there?
Well, Lord, no.
Mm-mm. Okay, wait. All right, well, let's talk about this then. Because Brown versus Board was in 1954.
May that's have
when
been.
That's when they passed the school segregation law. You went in 1961 and 1964, so almost 10 years later.
Right.
And you're still saying there were no white
Okay,
students.
What had happened was some black kids had started going to the white schools.
To Durham
but
High.
Not, that's right. Okay. Those kids had started going to Durham High and Carr. Middle Carr Junior High at that time. And now elementary, I don't know.
Okay.
But there were a few that had. By the time I graduated, like the McKissick girl and Henry Vickers and Cora Cole, they had started going there.
Okay.
But none had come to Hillside. It was none of them had started coming to the black school.
Now, do you remember people talking about white kids coming to Hillside?
No. Not at all.
You don't remember any kind of like, oh, we're going to get some white kids any day now.
No,
we're gonna
never
be integrated.
Nothing like that I can remember. I really do not.
You don't remember that?
We never any white teachers, no, any nothing white. We knew our Board of Ed was white. But that is all. And we knew that those kids going to those schools.
Okay.
And I was pretty much aware of, you know, the integration and stuff. Because I had cousins who were really forefront runners in Durham and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But no, we never even thought about any coming there, as I can remember.
Okay.
So in 64, we didn't think anything about any white kids coming to Hillside.
Okay.
Unless I was just, don't remember it right now, but it certainly doesn't stick out in my mind as something.
So then there was no, y'all just kind of went on as business as usual.
Oh yeah, right, exactly.
So there was no yearning or longing for when we going to be integrated.
Oh no, ma'am. Oh no, the thought, I guess we didn't know. No.
Hillside was fine functioning.
As far as I know, yeah.
Okay, as far as you can remember.
Yeah.
Well, do you remember if school integration or desegregation had any impact on your family at all? Do you remember that ever coming up?
Okay, say that again now.
Even though there weren't any white kids at Hillside, do you remember your family or your parents talking about it in any way?
Okay, not as far as education.
Okay.
But I had always been exposed to it as a little girl when I couldn't do certain things, like the lunch counters and stuff like that. And my mom, we had several instances where she had to really explain stuff to me.
Okay.
When I went downtown and I would see in Cress's and Woolworth's the white and the colored and white water fountain.
What's Cress's?
One day it was a kind of like a Woolworth's with a just all kind of store.
Okay.
And I remember the day that I drank out of the white fountain just for meanness. Just to do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, everywhere around me was still white and colored. The bathrooms, the bus station, the da-da-da-da-da.
Okay.
So I was quite aware.
Okay.
Quite aware. I knew about Martin Luther King's rising, mm-hmm. and like I said, I went to several little meetings and remember doing a sit-in at Howard Johnson's once when I was in high school.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Because like I said, I had a cousin that was a really forefront.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Worked with McKissick and all those people doing them.
Okay.
So I was really aware of what we could do and what we couldn't do.
Okay.
Because see, downtown was our only shopping area then. And I remember not so much the bus, because the bus that I rode anyway came straight to my neighborhood.
Okay.
And there weren't any white people on that bus.
Okay.
So I never really went to the bus, back of the bus like that.
Okay.
But really aware of
it.
Oh, and I used to hear my mom talk about white people at work. She worked at Duke.
Okay.
And how she thought, you know, she was treated different and stuff like that.
Okay. So, but at Hillside, it was kind of safe place. And
yeah.
For discussion.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's
yeah, because it just did not come there.
Okay.
As like, we just didn't have day-to-day contact.
Okay. Well, can you talk kind of about what it was like to live in Durham? Can you tell me a little bit more about what Durham was like when you were at Hillside, when you were a teenager?
Okay.
Is it very different now?
Yeah. Because I was not around any white people unless I went to a store.
Where did you live?
Okay. First of all, when I was in high school, I lived off down the street from Hillside.
Okay.
The side street to Hillside was called Otis.
Mm-hmm.
And you cross the railroad track, and it's the neighborhood now called Red Oak with Weaver Street, Alton Street, and my little street was Teresa.
Okay.
So I walked to Hillside.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I walked to Whitted. And so Durham for me was just a very confined kind of area. My church was, I could walk to church too,
because
it was down behind Lincoln Community Health Center.
Okay.
So my little world was really right in there, that area.
Okay.
And I did go downtown every Saturday. You know, that was the biggie to go downtown.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still very integrated.
Okay.
I mean, segregated.
Okay.
Uh-huh, segregated downtown.
Okay.
I kind of remember, you know, fast food, all that stuff was not. The first one when I was in high school was Hardee's.
Okay.
Started coming about.
Okay.
So we kind of started a little bit, my little group, we would go there. That was
the hangout.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we actually didn't hang around there as much as we just went and got the stuff and left, you know.
So did y'all hang out at Hillside too?
Not really, but I was in a group that we had lots of parties on the weekend.
Okay.
And then we went to T.A. Grady Community Center was our Saturday night thing.
Okay,
like I said, for socialization back then was really all the games and stuff.
Okay.
You know, all the sports stuff.
At Hillside.
At Hillside. We did a lot of Central stuff.
Okay,
would go to Central, specifically the basketball games.
Okay.
We had one little area where we all sat at
the high school area.
High school area, and we had a button that was called the Knot Club. And my dad was a custodian down at Central, so I used to really, and just all of us would go there too.
Okay.
So we did Central stuff. And then I guess off seasons must have been when we went to the T.A. Grady and W.D. Hill for our little Saturday night dances.
Okay.
And plus, like I said, my group, we just had lots of house parties, parties. And, you know, in the summer, it'd be backyard, and, you know, people had basements and stuff like that. So that was really, really the social. And then my church. I've always been involved with my Presbyterian church, and so I always had my youth activities there.
What were race relations like? This isn't on my list, but I'm thinking, is it?
Okay. Still, I wasn't around white people.
Okay, because you were so confined. And
Even when I went to Smith, I started having some white professors, but let me tell you, the other place where I did see white people, and they lived in the community kind of, was when I went to my grandma's house in North Wilkesboro, North Carolina, which is between Winston-Salem and Boone, and Little Country stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was around white people there,
because
they lived all around in the little,
Okay.
But other than that, and white kids, okay. and kind of played with them a little bit and stuff like that. But when I came back to Durham, it was just all black.
Okay.
And it's really, and I've often thought about that I really had not been around white people and all. So I went to Newark, New Jersey in 1968 to start teaching. Mm-hmm. That was when I was really around my coworkers, mm-hmm. and I taught some kids and stuff like that. That was my first real exposure.
Okay.
And that is the truth.
It's so different you know, my experience.
Yeah, so, I mean, I know. Y'all can't think, imagine
this. No, it's very
And I different. Lived in a whole black community, because that whole hillside area, all that was black. Mm-hmm. Oh, so, yeah, that whole Faber Street, the whole hillside area, and then there were pockets where I guess there may have been some blacks that kind of lived near white, but I didn't.
Okay. So when I've mm-hmm. been doing my research about kind of Hayti, and the, you know, this whole black area and black owned businesses, they make it seem like everybody was living large.
But that is not true. Okay. Because there was still so much ghetto and poor. There was still a lot. Right behind the Hayti section was a really poor, poor neighborhood. That's why Urban Renewal wanted to come through there and wipe out that kind of. Some of that same Austin Avenue and just all that was still, but of course it didn't look as bad and as raggedy.
Okay.
But we've had some poor. Now, I actually grew up, I spent 5 years in MacDill Terrace in my elementary and junior high years. But it was nothing like, if anybody told me like it was a project like I knew now. I mean, I had both parents. Most of the people there had two parents.
Okay.
It was just a starting block from folks getting ready to buy houses and stuff like that. So Durham, it's had its poor. Now the other part about Hayti, I never dealt that much with Hayti because by the time I kind of came through, a lot of that was run down. Like I would never go in that Regal Theater or that, I mean, I never went in there because I always heard how ragged and nasty and rats and stuff. And then people didn't stay in the hotel that they say they had back then.
So it was on the decline.
I guess as far as, I remember my mom and them using Spates, like black-owned service station stuff. I remember florists, but and my church was on the end part of it. I mean, it was out. I mean, it was like the whole was in the area. And I just remember walking through there and stuff like that, and maybe stopping sometime by an ice cream at Garrett Pharmacy because they have some good ice cream. But I just didn't, because I didn't have no dealings with the Carolina Times. St. Joseph was the church there. I knew people that went there. White Rock was a church. But, you know, but so Hayti existed. And Fowler Store and all that, but it just wasn't any big deal to me, it seemed like.
Okay, well, tell me more about Hillside, because everybody loved it so much. Was it all good? Was it all wonderful?
Maybe it's because, first of all, that was all we knew. Let's say that, you know. Then, you know, you had TV and this and that. But you got to remember, we were pretty confined. I had never been anywhere else. Except, like I said, my grandparents.
So,
again, the only reason I know Hillside was so special, and it may not have been so special. You know, I guess all, I mean, my friends from Winston-Salem that went to black schools like that, they all thought their schools were special. I really think the reason why it's maybe so special now is because it kind of stayed like the hillside for all these years. You know, even after segregation, it never got off the ground that much with integration. Because my sister graduated in 1974. And there were white people in her class. I mean, I can look in her yearbook and I see them. But then they, the either the community shifted or something, and it got back black. You know, so
honey, do you think?
See, and so I don't know that my understanding is that kids, I mean, people moved.
Okay.
And they shifted around and they got from that situation, or I just don't know why. It's always just been a handful, except those first early 70s and mid 70s, I think. And then how it got back. And really, I have not ever just dealt with the demographics and everything right. of how Hillside wide. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like that it stayed black so much longer than all these other predominantly ones in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. It just, and then it's had so much controversy mm-hmm. so that alumni and community leaders just stepped up to the plate to try to preserve mm-hmm. its historical value or something, I guess. And I've never been a part of any of all that stuff.
Okay.
I've been a part, I'm in my alumni, my class, but so we just had some outspoken leaders who just really wanted to preserve it.
Okay.
And not so much now that integrated, but they just wanted to see it have its fair share of equity of monies and stuff like that.
Okay.
And it's just, I think it's because it's lasted longer than others, I think.
How do you think they could have integrated it better in Durham?
I'm just not really sure, except if the families had really, that lived in those communities, wherever the line was, had really come in there and got a part of it and felt good about it and so forth. But other than that, I'm just not really sure, except I'm just not really sure.
So it sounds like you're not sure if it could have been done.
It probably could have if the whites had come in there and wanted to be a part of it, I guess.
All right, and you don't feel like
because that. Naturally the blacks probably didn't just go out of their ways to try to integrate it really, really. Mm-hmm. So therefore, there must have been that the whites didn't push it either, like, so it just didn't.
Okay.
It didn't make it as a really integrated school.
Mm-hmm. So,
and if that makes, I think that makes a little sense.
Yeah.
I mean, the blacks were trying to just preserve it, and then the whites didn't go through any big deal to change it.
Mm-hmm.
Then it just, yeah, okay.
So do you think that there's something special that schools like Hillside that have been historically black and kind of remained historically black.
Do I think it's something special about them?
And,
yeah.
And something that has been lost now.
Okay, I still know that the education we got was really, really, I feel like was sound.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of intimacy because pretty much you knew the teachers, they were in your community, they were in your church. Several of my teachers went to my church, stuff like that. I feel like, you know, people say that, you know, teachers really cared then and they could call your mom and your grandma and all that stuff. And I believe in that, and that was true.
Okay.
But I also really see caring teachers trying to care today as well. So I really, I mean, the whole society, of course, has changed.
Okay.
You know, back then, a teacher was not afraid to call your house or probably afraid that a kid would cuss her out or any of that kind of stuff. It was a rare kid. I mean, there was discipline needed, and some kids got wrote up, I guess. But I never cut a class. None of my friends ever cut a class. So I didn't know about that kind of stuff. I mean, there were some kids that, you know, they just... Never cut. Oh Lord, never even thought of nothing like that.
Really?
Oh no.
I was a good student, but I cut classes.
Oh no.
I cut half the senior year, I'm sure.
Oh no, ma'am. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. No, 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 no. Nothing like that. Never even thought of that. I mean, we never even thought. What would you do? I mean, I don't even remember ever thinking that you would even do something like that.
Okay.
And not that we were goody good,
right.
But it just was not a part of, now like I said, the way I was and my peers that I really, my friends that I hung around. Now I'm not talking about some other kids that I just didn't necessarily, you know, they were not in my group. We used to call them groups.
Okay, so it sounds
I guess what I'm saying is that society has really changed. You know, kids are different. Society has changed. I do feel like that I'm not very much sold on the fact that how you hear that white teachers don't care and stuff like that. I don't feel like that. Mm-hmm. For the most part, the ones that I see and that I have worked with as a co-worker, mm-hmm. I see that they basically try to care and do.
Okay.
But there's so many factors that come in the way of nowadays of kids succeeding and so forth that I don't really put it on teachers.
So then what do you think we can do to help better educate black students?
That's such a heavy loaded. You're talking about loaded to the core, and we don't have enough time. Because right now I'm kind of disillusioned with it myself. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me admit that.
Okay.
That I really am. And that's one of the reasons I'm getting out of it. Mm-hmm. Not only because it's just time, but I just don't know what to really, really do. Because it's just a swinging door here, you know. I know that I have reached some, but there's so many more that need to be reached. Jill, I'm really not sure exactly what needs to be done, except I wish that the violence thing could really stop. If kids could really look back at just really morals and respect, and basically that comes from home. But then I know so many kids that have that at home, and then when they get in the street and at school, they act different. Mm-hmm. So, because even with me, you know, even back in my day, we acted a little different too, right, away from home. That's just a kid.
Right.
But, so you can't really say all the time that it's it. Okay, one thing as far as educating black kids, or any kid, is that the schools now still are trying to fit everybody pretty much into the same mold.
Okay.
I mean, they're expecting you to fit, these little diploma tracks that still are also academically based. Mm-hmm. And I definitely know vocation. I mean, the kids that I see in EC and all that, they are struggling with this other hardcore curriculum. Mm-hmm. And so I think we need some more alternatives, okay, especially skills and vocational. Now, I'm an advocate of that.
And Hillside had those kinds of programs,
they
too.
They did. Okay. They most certainly did. They had bricklaying, carpentry, drafting, auto mechanics. I mean, some of those houses down the street from the old Hillside were built by kids.
Oh, really?
Oh, those houses come down Lawson Street, where C.C. Spaulding sits over here. You come down Lawson, and all those houses, those on the left, those brick houses at the bottom of Lawson, were built by students.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. So there was, what I'm hearing you say, there was something for everybody at Hillside.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And, of course, I was kind of removed from that because I wasn't in the, you know, the vocational kind of track.
Right, but you knew
but,
it then.
Oh, yeah, because... I mean, right here you go.
Okay, vocational.
Some auto mechanic stuff.
Tailoring.
And, and I didn't even know they had tailoring. Okay, but,
Bricklaying.
Yeah, bricklaying class, yeah. So,
machine shop, industrial
shop. And those people, and I know some of those people now that are really make more than me. Mm. And, with a skill. So that right there is a difference, now that I'm thinking about it.
Right.
I hadn't even realized, I mean, I knew we needed them,
right,
because I see what I'm up against. But I forgot that back then, and that was a school that had all that.
Right. So most everybody had a place.
Had a place, that's right.
So we need to find a place for all kids.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And that variety right there was about six or seven things that could certainly be offered again today with more. Cosmetology wasn't offered then, could be now.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Cooking classes. We got so many. And I'm not talking about just homemade, because now it's called foods and nutrition.
Okay.
But I'm talking about cooking. There's so many of my LD kids now that want to just cook, you know. And you got to learn. Yeah, you got to learn the book stuff, too. Mm-hmm. And at culinary schools and all that, but even on a smaller scale, learn, you know. So it's so much.
Okay, well, I got one or two other quick questions. Mm-hmm. We talked some about what we thought was lost from school integration or desegregation. We talked about...
Okay, I may not have said it like that per se, but the intimacy kind of and stuff. Yeah,
lost
yeah.
the kind of mm-hmm. connection with the community, those types of things. Mm-hmm. Do you think we gained anything?
Which, in a way, now I'm beginning to think is probably... a bad thing in a way. Exposure. Mm. It certainly shouldn't be a bad thing.
Right.
I think exposure and knowing how to handle it is probably where we lost.
Okay.
But I really think the diversity has been really, really good of integration. You know, and I'm just not black, white, but just all the other nationalities and stuff. So I really think... And as time and society has moved and, you know, all these scientific technologies and blah, 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 the exposure I still think is good, but we just don't always know what to do with exposure. So those are the things that I think we have gained. And then just a respect for, you should be, now let me go back to that, should be a respect for all different types of individuals.
If I know, I've talked to a lot of people about Sinead, and they tell me wonderful things about the band and the teachers and high expectations and the community. If somebody was going to say something bad about when they were a student there, or something that wasn't as great, was it all great?
The worst part negative that I have is that the people that were supposed to be support staff, like counselors, they just were not the supportive like nowadays.
Okay.
And everybody, of course, was not on the same economic level.
Okay.
But we had a counselor in particular, Mrs. King, who really looked down on kids if they lived in certain areas, the projects, or certain poor areas of town and thought that they could not. If your parents worked at the Mutual or North Carolina College or were teachers, then she really, you know, looked after you or
show favoritism.
Yeah, show favoritism, that's a good word. And myself personally, I always knew that I was going to college, and I had picked out John C. Smith just a couple of years before.
For some odd reason.
Because I'm Presbyterian, and I had been there to camp.
Okay.
And I just knew that's where I wanted to go. So I did all my stuff on my own.
Okay.
But I think that was really bad. I just think, you know, that we didn't have support. And then I've heard more of that. She's the only one.
Mm-hmm.
My parents were not. My mama was semi-educated and stuff like that. And my dad had been a famous Hillside graduate, football star.
Oh.
So people really knew him as well and all that. And I think I presented myself, too, as an okay. My parents weren't at the Mutual or this or that. My mom worked at Duke. But so all the folk kind of liked me anyway, and this is that. So I didn't go across, I wasn't in the group where overlooked, except Miss King. I just didn't deal with her, because I just knew how she was.
Okay.
But all the other people, I still think they were okay, and they treated me like, yeah, I was okay. And so, maybe because I was a pretty good student, too, or something.
So even if there was some favoritism, it wasn't enough to kind of spoil your
with
experience.
Most people.
No,
it really wasn't. Anything else bad, I really can't say.
Okay.
From what I went through and just how I can remember, I just have good feelings about it, because I really, really had, was my true self of just acting up and having a good time. And the teachers, I loved them, you know. So I don't really have any other bad stuff.
And so have you remained in contact with people from the
school? Oh, yeah. Still some of my best friends are still my classmates.
Okay.
When I see my teachers, I still go real crazy about them. I do all my reunions. We do them every 5 years now. I hate to miss my 40th. because it's the only one I've ever missed. Mm-hmm. I had a family reunion in St. Louis last summer, and okay. I just felt like I got to go to St. Louis. Mm-hmm. So now I go to some of the alumni meetings.
Okay.
And, you know, here, I'm a true Hornet. I just don't. I'm not a fanatic, though.
Okay.
You know, I don't go to just say, oh, I got to go to Hillside Game or this or that. But I still love the spirit. I've got a Hillside shirt that I bought not so long ago and stuff. You know, so I still have a lot of pride about it.
Okay, so hearing the word pride, and a lot of people have talked to me about that Hillside pride, Hornet pride.
Okay.
And, you know, I've been talking to a lot of people about Hillside. Is there anything else I should tell them? If people come up to me and say, Geraldine, I know you've been talking to people about Hillside. What have you learned? Why was it so special? Why do people love it so much? Why was it so important to the Durham community? Is there anything more that you think I need to tell them?
Except it was such a community fixture. Okay. It was just a community fixture. You know, my dad went there, my cousins went there, my aunts went there. You know, that's just all I can say. You know, and it liked to kill us when it moved from the new.
Really?
Oh, I got a brick. I mean, a lot of people went and got bricks and... just a fixture. That's just the only way I can really say it. And a good fixture.
Okay.
That's all. Oh, yeah. That we hated to see it. Because, like I said, that was just, I lived like, I could walk 5 or 6 minutes, maybe 10, from the school to my house. And it just was, you just wanted it to be there.
Do you think the spirit,
it seems like it's, oh, okay.